Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, January 20th. I'm Ray Graff. On a chilly day in Washington, D.C., Joe Biden was sworn in as our nation's 46th president today. In his inaugural address, Biden called for unity and an end to uncivil war, declaring that democracy has prevailed. So on this first day of the Biden administration, we'll open up the phones and let you share your biggest hope and or your biggest concern about what may lay ahead for the next 4 years. And we'll also welcome WAMC's Alan Shartok to the mix. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. Hopefully some lively discussion ahead right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joe Biden became the country's 46th president today. Given that many thought the inaugural address 4 years ago was a little on the dark side, Joe Biden struck a more optimistic tone today, saying, "At this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed. This is America's day. This is democracy's day, a day in history and hope of renewal and resolve. We have a new president. We have open lines, 800-348-2551. We want to hear what your hopes are for the next 4 years or what your concerns are for the next 4 years. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. We also welcome my buddy, WAMC's Alan Shartok. Are you there, sir?
I am certainly here, and I am certainly your buddy.
Indeed you are.
You are one of the amazing gifts that WAMC has been offered, and you are, we can't even begin to tell you what you mean to this radio station. You're terrific.
I'm the gift that keeps on giving until my old ticker gives out, which could be any day now. You never know. Hey, you know, this was a much more, not normal, but more less different than the last inaugural speech, which was frightening in many respects. This had that familiar tone of optimism that we've heard so many times from inaugural speeches.
Well, I tell you, I think an awful lot of Americans were feeling the way I was. Ray, I shouldn't say this to you, but I found myself in tears during this thing.
Yeah.
A sense of absolute relief that this miscreant, terrible, potentially fascist president was gone. And I don't like to cry, but, you know, there were several times that I said, oh, boy, you got to cut this out, Alan. This isn't good.
You know, one of the main themes of Joe Biden's speech today was unity. It was a word that came up very often. He promised to fight for not just those who voted for him, but those who did not support him. Given today, and we'll get to the phones in a moment, but given today's political climate, the one that has been prevailing in this country, is it possible for him to do that?
Oh, yeah. I think it's not either, you know, everything or nothing. I think that what he can do is he can bring some people over the line, as in capture the white flag. You walk over to the other side and you grab some. And I think that's what's going to happen. Look, you know, the other guy was basically saying, we don't want you. I'm not going to reach out to anybody else and try to convert them into my way of thinking or saying, he said the right things in the beginning. He said, yeah, I want to be everybody's president, but he didn't mean it. And it was quite clear. Here's Biden in direct contrast saying, you know, we want everybody. And anybody who listened to the man's words had the sense he meant every word of them.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We are doing a special episode of Vox Pop. It was supposed to be Pets and Vets, which would have been fine, but we thought this one would be a more appropriate topic today. And so let's go to the phones. Aiden in Pokwag, you're first. Hello.
Hello.
You're on.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Good afternoon. I have more of a concern for the next 4 years, and I think this has ultimately been a concern that's a long time in the making. Now, I didn't vote for Trump. I did kind of support him at first for the whole angle that he wasn't a politician, as I'm sure many people did. But as time went on, I realized that this is not really the guy. I mean, he might be saying the right things, but I don't think he can do the right things. And my biggest concern is that the concerns of many people that voted for him are going to, again, be pushed to the side. And most of his support did come from the Midwest. It came from what is inappropriately, I think, and very disrespectfully called flyover country. Mm. Now, when you say that, you're insulting millions and millions of people. You're saying that those people don't matter. And while, you know, I'm from upstate New York, I've lived here my whole life, I've driven through that country. I've seen it. It's beautiful. The people are wonderful. But unfortunately, I think they've been politically marginalized by the rest of the country on both sides, Republicans and Democrats. And I'm afraid that's going to happen again. But I do see kind of a unique opportunity here. I do think a lot of those people, now just hear me out, I think a lot of them do have a lot of interests in line with a lot of people in inner cities and a lot of other politically and racially disenfranchised people. I think that there's a unique opportunity for something to really happen here and to make sure that those people are counted, to make sure that those people are heard, and to try to alleviate some of the stresses that have caused them to be so angry and upset in the first place. And I think Trump did mention a lot of those things, but rather than try to fix them, I think he just further fanned the flames.
Interesting call, Aiden. Alan, what do you think?
Well, you know, the name of this program is Vox Pop, the voice of the people. There are some things that Aiden just said that I agree with. There are some things I certainly don't agree with. I certainly never thought that Trump's message was salutary in any way, you know, but Aiden is Aiden. That's his
All
choice.
Right. Well,
that's it.
Well, Aiden, thank you for getting us started. Our number here is 800-348-2551 on this Vox Pop, a Latin term, I believe. Alan can tell you that. He's a professor. John in Ludlow. John, you're up.
Hey, a long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you. I'm optimistic today, but I'm also concerned. You know, this is just a moment in time. And while, yes, it's the end of a regime and the beginning of something else, it's not that way by itself. You know, we have to hold accountability for the last 4 years. We still have Mitch McConnell in Congress, regardless of whether or not he's the, you know, Speaker of the House.
The
succession
president
rate for president doesn't really matter when you have somebody like him still in power. And it's not going to be, okay, let's take a breath, everything's going to be fine with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris here. We have to think about, you know, what is it going to take to get to a point where everyone in the country can feel safe and feel like they don't have to go from paycheck to paycheck or else they'll die. You know, I mean, people went to work on January 7th after the attempted takeover of the United States by a domestic terrorist organization. And regardless of what their concerns were, those people need to be held accountable, and the entire people, the media of just walking over everything like, oh my goodness, can you imagine what just happened? Do you believe the president said that on Twitter? Why everyone's gawking, but no one is actually cracking the whip and holding people accountable for this. It's just shock and awe until the next media cycle. We forget about it all. And then now that person who was reading Dr. Seuss in order to block an Obamacare bill to be signed is now still Ted Cruz and still in Congress. You know what I mean?
Alan.
So I'll take my
thanks, John.
Here.
Appreciate
well,
it.
Well, no. I do know what you mean. And I do think that that Biden said all the right things in terms of conciliation. Now we have to see if the people who were basically Trumpers are willing to say, okay, let's give this guy a chance. That's a tough one.
The number here is 800-348-2551. I think John brought up a point that I find will be interesting over the coming months and maybe the next year or two, that even though with the tiebreaker being Kamala Harris, the Senate is still tight. Joe Biden, who has a relationship with a lot of these guys from and women from the old days in the Senate, I mean, can he get consensus, more consensus than we have seen in past years?
Well, I think he can, because I think he wants it. I genuinely think he wants it. And I think Trump didn't. Trump wanted his people. He kept playing directly to his base. He wasn't at all interested in bringing people over the line. If he had, Ray, one of the things that occurs to me, he might still be the president. I think he just guessed wrong. I think he thought if he could get his base, that would, and they would turn out in record numbers, and they did, by the way, that would get him to the point of winning the presidency again. You just guessed wrong.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Alan, stand by. We'll take a quick break. It's Vox Pop, and we're just getting underway. We'll be back with more of your calls coming up. Nobody played the flap steel like Buddy Emmons. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 if you want to chime in here. Alan Chartok joins me today, and we are discussing today's inauguration of Joe Biden as our 46th. And, Alan, this email came in from Kevin in Greenfield, and he writes, "My birthday is November 8th, so 2016 was one of the worst days of my life. My wife went into her school to see coworkers crying after 4 years that seemed to be 20. What a great day for many of us. Thank you for all your coverage of the four-year nightmare." And that's from Kevin in Greenfield.
I couldn't agree more with him. It was a four-year nightmare, and that's probably, Ray, why, despite the fact that I don't want to seem like, you know,
what?
A weakling, that I'm watching this thing and with such great relief, and I'm sure Kevin's feeling it too, I was reduced to tears.
Well, I mean, with all due respect, we've seen you cry many a time. I mean, all I got to do is go to a fun drive and I can see you in full-on weeping mode.
In all due respect.
All right, let's go back to the phone. Joan in Schenectady. Joan, you're on.
Thank you so much. Gentlemen, I'm glad to be with you on Vox Populi, for the Latin.
Good job.
Dr. Allen, I want to let you know I, too, cried during each of the prayers, during that exquisite poetry recitation. There was a lot of joy and sorrow that came out while I was listening.
Were you listening or were you watching?
I was listening.
Oh, good for you. Bonus points for Joan.
And I'm grateful to the verbal experts who were able to help me imagine what others were seeing. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, they did a nice job on NPR.
They did.
Joan, thank you so much for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. And let's go now to lovely Port Jervis. Joyce, you're on.
Hello, my name is Joyce Vicka from Port Jervis.
Hi.
Former President Trump mentioned forming a Patriot Party in his farewell address. Take away the P-A-T and you have remaining R-I-O-T Party.
Riot. Alan.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think if he does it, he will obviously split the Republican vote, and it will assure whoever runs the next time, whether it's Kamala Harris or whether it's Joe Biden, the presidency. I mean, it's the worst thing he could do for the opposition.
Joyce. Okay. Well, Joyce, thanks a lot for checking in for Port Jervis. The number is 800.
By the way, we got a lot of people, listeners in Port Jervis. We hear from them all the time. That's a long way off from Albany.
From the studio, it certainly is, but it's not a long way from Port Jervis. So it's good to have Joyce on.
And it's not a long way off from WAMC Sound, what you're saying, right?
You see, you got that right. Alan Chartok joins us on this Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Jim in Hartford, Connecticut. Hello, Jim.
Good afternoon, and how are you, gentlemen?
Hey, hanging in there. How about you?
Isn't this an absolutely glorious day?
It
we have
is.
Finally rid ourselves of Trumpanzeeism, hopefully. I guess one question is, and I say tongue-in-cheek, is a special cell up in, I believe it's called the Clinton facility in Dannemora, being prepared for his nibs once Cyrus Vance Jr. is able to lay the hammer down on him.
Well, you have to throw that one to Allen.
It could certainly happen. I mean, we are told that they have some significant evidence about his wrongdoing. I asked Governor Cuomo, I think yesterday, was that when we were on? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I don't know. I asked him yesterday, you know, should he go to jail if they can convict, if they can find evidence? And he said, certainly.
Isn't that prejudicing the jury, though? Shouldn't he not mention that?
Why?
Well, I mean, we don't know what the charges are yet, right?
No.
For the governor to say, yes, he should go to jail is not necessarily...
No, he didn't say no. Come on, Raymond. He didn't say, yes, he should go to jail. He said, if the evidence is there and a jury convicts him, he should go to jail.
Okay.
And I agree with that.
All right, fine. Let's go to the next caller. And Bruce in Kingston. Bruce, you're on.
Yeah, I appreciate being able to talk to you, Alan, and Ray, and your listeners.
Hi.
I am very disturbed, deeply disturbed, that... commentators, including Joe this morning on the roundtable, is calling the insurrection a riot. A riot? Give me a break. We've had many riots in this country of all kinds and dimensions. This was not a riot. It was an insurrection that came within, what, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes to becoming mob riot going into mob rule and injuring and murdering maybe congressmen and senators and taking hostages. To call it a riot is to begin to dismiss it and make it much easier for Congress and senators also to begin to dismiss it and make it harder for Biden and Harris to get all they need to do to get through. It's going to be tougher. As they're so close, at any rate, in numbers, they need all the help. So to begin to dismiss it as a riot is just a terrible thing to do. And I hope that, you know, all the commentators don't just follow this through like that. So,
all right, Bruce's
like
contention, words matter. Alan. Okay.
You know, Bruce Wright, you know, there's a definitional issue here, and that the question, of course, Joe is the most wonderful moderator that anybody could be, and I dismiss any accusations, or as Mario used to tell me, I deny it, any accusations about having misspoken.
All right.
Look, there are an awful lot of people who have used the word riot in the major newspapers of the United States. But I'm interested in Bruce's definition of riot. Is sort of unplanned. Is that? Oh, is Bruce gone?
Bruce. But
okay, yeah, I got it.
I can look it up in the old Funkin' Wagnalls.
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
But you see, I think what his point was is that a riot is something that organically, just naturally occurs, whereas the other is planned. And there is increasing evidence that this was planned, and that they have the names of people who were in contact with each other who were trying to plan this, you know, assignation, whatever you want to call it. And it was, I get his point. His point is it wasn't just off the cuff. It was planned.
And the investigation obviously continues. We will find out more, hopefully, in coming weeks. By the way, this email came in from Valerie. Tears of joy. Dear Alan, don't feel bad about crying at the inauguration. I cried like a baby to the point my dog felt the need to comfort me. It was like being finally released from a house of horrors for 4 years. Such a relief. And that's from Valerie.
And Valerie's right, because I don't think a lot of us were in touch with. I mean, we all said the right things and we talked about how terrible Trump was and what was he doing this time and that time. But I mean, the sense of palpable relief was unbelievable.
Let's go to Jennifer in Saratoga Springs. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello. How are you?
We're all okay. How are you?
I'm great. So your first question was, what are you hopeful for?
Yeah.
So that's what I want to stick to on a day like today.
Okay.
And honestly, I made my 18-year-old daughter watch it with me. And she was just getting out of bed, of course. And we were watching, and I started crying when Kamala Harris took the oath. And she said, oh, my God, Mom, why are you crying? And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm 53 years old, and we finally have a female in the executive office. You have no idea what that means to so many of us who have worked so hard for equality and to break that glass ceiling. And so then she rolls her eyes at me and we continue. And then Joe Biden takes the oath and I start crying again. And she goes, "Oh my God, Mom, why are you crying now?" And I said, "Because these last 4 years were extreme trauma and I didn't realize it until just this moment."
Exactly.
And I think so many times as we go through a harrowing experience, and not to be hyperbolic, but near death for many, including this pandemic in the context, and you stick with it and you just, you know, you gather your gumption and you get through it. And then when you're done, you realize how close we all came to something that we could never return from.
I think you just made Alan cry again.
I am hopeful.
I could not add a single word to what's being said. Not a single word.
Well, thank you. And thank you all for continuing the good fight. And I also want to say something about unity, because I think sometimes our language fails us, right? I think when people say unity, they get mixed up sometimes, or they get scared and they think, oh, what that means is forget the past and move forward without accountability. And I disagree. You know, there's something called restorative justice. And I used to be on the school board. And whenever there was an incident where it was a very divisive topic, oftentimes we would hire a restorative justice professional and would come in. And there's a formula. There's a formula to get to the other side where it's fair. That's the goal, to be fair, have a fair outcome. You cannot get to that goal without accountability. That's step number one. So unless we can get to a place where people are on the same truth level, and they're accountable, you can't get to the other side. But to me, that is unity. So I am promoting unity in this phone call. I will continue to promote unity until I'm giving everybody their best, you know, until they fail me, I believe in them.
Okay.
I think that's what we have to do after the last 4 years.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop on WAMC Latin, so Alan tells me. 800-348-2551. Derek in Chester, Massachusetts. Hello, Derek.
Yes. I would like to have a little bit of the doctor's assessment of a little bit of history and then his prescience into what may happen. And my question is, it seems to me that the election of Donald Trump was a backlash from America daring to elect Barack Obama a black president. I think that the underlying currents were inflamed by that, and okay, now it's our time for revenge. The next question, that's the history, and I want to see if the doctor validates that or thinks that I'm completely off base. The next point would be, would there possibly be then in 2024, would there be a backlash against our, as a nation, our daring to elect Kamala Harris, a black woman vice president, and provide ammunition in 2024. I'm going to hang up and let the good doctor and you, Ray,
okay,
give me a little insight into this supposition of mine.
Gotcha. I'm not sure we have a good doctor, but we do have Dr. Alan Shartok. Alan, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, you know, I have never believed that. I think, and I have been summarily executed on the panel a number of times by a couple of the panelists for saying that I think Hillary was a terrible candidate. Now, with that said, she got 3 million more votes than he did. 3 million more votes than he did. She didn't go out. She wasn't personable enough. It was, she's a good woman. There's no question about it. But I think what happened is that people just decided, you know, it's the same old, same old. A lot of people said, a lot of Democrats said, he can't win. That's ridiculous. The guy's a jerk. But he did win. And it proves what happens when you don't vote and when you don't participate. I don't think it was about race. I think Barack Obama was and is one of the most adored presidents in the history of this country. So I don't think it was a reaction to Barack. And I think that we have to understand that at least at one point, Joe Biden said, I'm not going to be running a second time. In which case, I'm going to guarantee you that the candidate, assuming that things go well, is going to be Kamala Harris. I don't think there's any question about that. So we'll see. But I don't think that the race issue is what decided that election.
Our number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Tom in Mayfield. Tom, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a point about how the media has been partially responsible for giving Trump his air. And now that the trash has been taken out this morning, the media should stop talking about Trump. Talk about the positives. Talk about the hopeful. Talk about the things we got to accomplish. The next time Trump's name is mentioned is when he is executed for treason and sedition, when he's put to death by our government.
Oh, boy. Alan.
I can't answer that. You know, Trump is a guy who is not to my liking, that is for sure. And I do believe that he's going to get caught up pretty much in his own actions. And I believe that Cyrus Vance and the Attorney General in New York, Trish James is going to, you know, call him to account. I certainly don't believe he should be executed, except when you take a look at 400,000 deaths in the United States, and the estimate now is going to be 500,000. It's going to go to 500,000. One wonders whether, you know, the kid who walks in the grocery store and gets put to death for killing one person is anything compared to what Trump's culpability is.
So you're saying that Trump bears 100% responsibility for all the deaths from COVID?
Now, you see, you sound like those guys who write me letters and say, you said, when I didn't say any such thing.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
To be clear, that's not what you mean, right?
No, that's not what I said.
All right, let's just, you know what? I know what you're doing. I'm going to go to the phones again.
You know what?
Kate in upstate New York. Kate, you're on.
Oh, can you hear me?
Certainly. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I was just calling. Well, thank you for taking my call. And I've been listening to your the people calling in. And I just wanted to react to the person talking about the Trump supporters down south and, you know, in the Midwest and this and that. But they're right here in upstate New York. I am one of nine. And I was the only one pro-Biden. The rest of my family was pro-Trump. And they had their reasons. And I, like you said, I don't think it was racially based. It was, he appealed to, they are upstate farmers that work very, very hard and get very, very little back. And Trump resonated to those people that, you know, they're been left out. They're not at the table. And Biden brought in everybody. And I think it's wonderful, you know, Afro-Americans, Latinos, women, but you can't leave out this group because they're a big part of who we are, and they're really being ignored. And, you know, I was a Democrat, and I thought my whole family was a Democrat. But when I moved back from Columbus, Ohio, they're all Republicans. And I said to my mother, you know, what happened? I thought, you know, Kennedy Democrats were all Democrats. And she said, no, they gave away the tape. They gave away the store. And, you know, they're left behind. And I don't know, I'm not supporting the Trump supporters, but there is a lesson to be learned from all that has happened that doesn't involve race, that doesn't involve white nationals and and the crazy people out there, but just regular old Americans that are looking for what about me. And my family has never been that way. They're farmers. They're very much proud that they feed people and they feed the world, really. And they're really not wanting to say, what about me? But it's gotten to the point now that they are in a position where they do need to say, what about me? Hmm. And I think that's been lost in all of this, that Trump, he did target that population and he exaggerated and, lied and did all those other things. But that is why they were drawn to Trump.
Well, Kate,
believe me, my brother said, I don't want him for a neighbor, but I like what he's doing as a president. So,
well, Kate, this was a very interesting call. We have to take a break in about 40 seconds. But, Alan, if you could just comment on that.
Well, the farmer community in the United States has always tended to be Republican. And it may well be that the streak of independence and self-sufficiency is what makes them think that this is the way to go. But certainly anybody who's a president of the United States and leaves out the farmers is out of their mind.
All right, let's take a quick break. Kate, thank you so much for that one. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Vox Pop, we'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC, number is 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you, and we're joined today by the affable Dr. Alan Shartok. A few emails here, Doc, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one's from Mark. When Trump took office 4 years ago, he began by attacking the legitimate media. This caused many people to not believe the real news. Now that President Biden is in office, how will he be able to restore the public's faith in the mainstream media? And that is from Mark.
Well, first of all, there is no such thing as the mainstream media. You got Fox, or as they say in the restaurant, you got your Fox, you got your CNN and MSNBC, for example. There are those people who find it very hard to believe anything that runs counter to what their primary belief system is. But I think that the media will have to just keep doing their jobs and hope that people appreciate what they're doing. I don't think there's much that can be done other than that.
And this one is from Tom, and then we'll hit the phones once again. Subject heading, independence. What forum do independents have? We have Democrats and Republicans, yet we have millions not affiliated with those two parties. Where do independents go so that their voices may be heard?
They go to the election. That's where they go, and that's why I think Joe Biden won. You had your 90% Republican, folks who were telling pollsters they were with Trump. And then you had the Democrats saying we're the Democrats. The people in the middle are the ones who made up their mind. Now, this brings up another subject, which is if you are Joe Biden, what are you going to do to make sure that balance is kept? You're going to take a course of moderation. That's what you're going to do. I have lots of very left-wing friends. Of course, we all know that. And I have great respect for them. But I don't think they see the forest for the trees when it comes to the fact that these independents can go either way. They can swing either way.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. The number, lines are loaded at the moment. If you hear somebody hang up, good time to call. Ann in Albany. Ann, you're up.
Hi, I'm hopeful from today, and I'm really appreciating the conversation and the responses. I wanted to offer one concern, and that is the language that one caller used about how do we hold people accountable, so to speak, that did those things at the Capitol or elsewhere. The wording was used to crack the whip, and that brings up a very disastrous history in our country of slavery, and that is not a term I would want to use as we look at punishment or accountability for anyone's behavior. Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Marta in Poughkeepsie. Marta, you're up.
Hey, Hi, Mr. Graff. Dr. Chartok. First of all, I'm very, very, very happy that today was the inauguration of Biden-Harris ticket. Oh, my goddess. Thank the goddess. And then I want to say accountability for sure about the representatives in the Congress, both the Senate and the House of Representatives. Any Republican that still insists that this is a fraudulent result needs to be held accountable for that. And why is it okay to lie like Fox, the whole Fox channel does on Fox News? People are hypnotized. They're literally getting high on hate. And I think I heard years ago that if you told lies on TV, you could get in trouble. Why is that not the case anymore? People in the Congress who say that, you know, DDT, which is what I call him, dictator devil Trump, that anyone who says that he was unjustly removed for office, they need to be removed from office. They should be impeached for the safety of everyone. And it won't be so tight, Mr. Graff, if those Republicans are held accountable, just like they should be. And treason, for sure, is what the ex-president did. He tried to cause a violent overtaking of our system of government. He should be incarcerated for that. He's a mass murderer. Otherwise, 400,000 people wouldn't be dead in this country right now of COVID. And thanks for letting me rant.
Hey, that's okay, Marta. Just one question now. You mentioned Fox. So you watch a lot of Fox News then?
I avoid it like the plague, and
how do you know
I try
they
to
lie?
Avoid the plague as well. And I am not on the internet. I know that came up before. I steer clear of all that Wi-Fi, which we are being poisoned to death with. I'm watching guys hang off of a tower above a Verizon here in the city of Poughkeepsie. Three guys, got to be 500 feet up in the air, hooking that stuff up. It's just killing us.
Oh man!
Big tech has got to be dealt with. That's something else that we need to deal with in this country, the way it's killing us physically and hypnotizing people mentally and making them believe lies instead of making people deal with the truth, which is what we're being exploited to death. We need guaranteed basic income in this country. That will make a level playing field for everyone. As long as capitalism rules and the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, race is going to be a huge problem because guess what? The poorest people are not white, even though there's a lot of poor white people. And if those poor white people were supported with the same income that everybody who's poor in this country should have, which would be a fair basic universal income, they're calling it now, you better believe things would change for the better in this world.
Hey, Marty, you've called this show many times. I don't think I've ever heard you more wound up. Did you even take a breath during that?
I'm excited. I'm so excited. Right. I really am, because I feel like it is possible that maybe we'll survive the climate collapse if the brakes are put on fossil fuels. Oh, how ironic that we should all be turned into fossils by fossil fuels. That is fueling big tech. Let's not forget, you need a lot of electricity and the main way that's being produced.
All right, we're gonna let you go there, Marta. Take a good deep breath. Thank you very much. We appreciate the call. Hey, you want to comment on any of that, Alan?
No, I'm just sort of digesting all of that, Mr. Graff.
She was, I got to tell you, Marta's called many times before, but that was vintage right there. 800-348-2551. Mike in Albany. Mike, you're on.
I could go 10 or maybe 20 different directions on everything we're talking about.
Right,
I'm just
going to
pick one.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick one, and I'm going to tell everybody within the sound of my voice, don't worry at all about the press. This is nothing new. When Franklin Roosevelt ran for the presidency of the United States in 1932, the Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, all were against him. There was a radio priest named Father Coughlin, who is today's equivalent of a Rush Limbaugh. Nothing has changed. The press survived these. As a matter of fact, it took a course of some 20 years before the press in this country began to realize that the Democratic Party wasn't the evil that everybody thought it was in the 30s. I think we are much more in a better position with the press where it is now than where it was back in the 30s. I think the threat was much worse in the 30s than it is today in 2020.
Mike, you make a great point. Your phone line is terrible, though. I got to say, it's breaking up, but we did get all of that. Alan, go ahead. What do you want to say about that?
Mike's point is interesting. We do know that the press itself has changed. If you don't believe it, listen to the Media Project and the great guidance of Rex Smith and all the
others. Rex is still on?
Yeah, no, he is still on. That's right, Mr. Graff.
Oh, terrific.
And we have discussed this many times. Newspapers are dying. We know that. They are dying. CNN, well, an awful lot of people were watching this today. I can tell you right now without, you know, just based on instinct, the WAMC has many more listeners than virtually anybody else. That's my bet. I can't prove it.
Anybody That's else?
What, you mean in the radio land?
Oh, my gosh. Media? Zach, yeah. The engineer, is saying he wrote down on a piece of paper, give me a raise then, which is it's amazing.
Well,
no, he didn't. I'm sorry.
He didn't write that?
No, I think I saw the thought balloon over his head. Let's go to Joe in Turner's Falls, Massachusetts. Joe, you're on.
Hi, it's John. Thank you very much.
Oh, hiya, John.
Finer men in radio than you and the fine doctor, who's not a good doctor. He's a great doctor.
Ah, very nice.
He's a doctor who held our hands and hearts through 4 years of petulant man-child rantings. So thank you both.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Whereas my mother-in-law once referred to me as a phooey doctor.
Oh, okay. So in other words, your mother-in-law, thanks, Joe, for the call. Your mother-in-law would say, because you're not an MD, you're a phooey doctor.
That's exactly right. I'm glad you cleared that up.
I agree with your mother-in-law. Let's go to Eric in Shelburne Falls. Eric, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Chartok. You made the comment this morning on the roundtable that Donald Trump is a fascist, is essentially a fascist. And that reminded me of a little story from back in 2015. I live in Western Massachusetts during the primary season. I took my family up to see a town hall in New Hampshire. Jeb Bush was giving a town hall in southern New Hampshire. We drove up there. And during the town hall, Jeb Bush, and this was at a point when Jeb was already, being subject to ad hominem attacks. He was being called low energy Jeb, you know, by Trump and all that kind of stuff. At some point during the town hall, Jeb was speaking and he started saying, you know, they say, you know, Trump claims he's a conservative, but really, he's a liberal. He's a New York liberal, and he sort of riffed on this idea that Trump was secretly a liberal. And so, when we got home that evening, I sent an email to Bush's campaign person who was running that town hall. I said, you know, I enjoyed the town hall, but I would suggest to you that when Jeb was talking about Trump and was riffing on this idea that Trump is secretly a liberal, I said he's not a liberal. He is a fascist. He is following the classic 20th century European fascist playbook a la Mussolini. He shows all of the traits, and I said it's a mistake to try to paint him as a liberal. Jeb should be calling him out aggressively as a fascist. And again, this was sort of at the height of Bush was already losing ground at that point, but it was still during the primaries, and they never answered. It just reminded me of that because that's the way fascism comes along.
Alan,
well, that's a very interesting story. It really is. Political candidates tend to say, "Well, this isn't working. I think I'll try something else." And I suspect that's what was happening there. You know, what would enrage people in a Republican primary more than calling somebody a liberal? And that's what he tried.
Let's go to Mike in Glens Falls. Mike, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much. If I remember anything about Joe Biden, there are two things, one of which was the help and encouragement he gave to the little boy who stutters. And the woman poet today, Amanda Gorman, also had a speech defect. She had trouble pronouncing R's. And it just seems that the way he reached out to them and the empathy he seemed to have for them just struck me and will stay with me. And on the second point of reconciliation, most religious persuasions I'm familiar with, there are three elements to it. One, acknowledgement of the wrongdoing. Two, asking for forgiveness, and B, promising never to sin again. And I have not seen any of that in the Republicans who are clamoring for unity.
Mike, thank you for that. Alan, you want to comment on that?
That's a very good. So the point about unity is very well taken. Where were all these people when it was a question of unity with Trump? He wasn't the unifier, and he wasn't a guy who believed in any of that. You know, what it means now is when they say unity means you won, and now let's see if we can calm you down a little bit.
By the way, a program note coming up in about 7 minutes. We missed Midday Magazine altogether, and we are going to do an hour-long newscast at 3 o'clock with Jim Lavoulis, and we will have the reactions from many local and regional lawmakers to the inauguration today. So that's coming up at 3 o'clock. Meantime, it's Vox Pop. Let's go to Matthew in East Hampton. Matthew.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, actually. I wanted to start by just saying thank you to you both because I listen to you on the regular.
Thank you.
You have been like tour guides through what has been a cruise ship of nightmares that we never thought would end, and it finally did. And the previous caller used one of the words I wanted to focus on, which was empathy, because as a gay male in America, I felt the last 4 years as though I had a vice president who was quite openly coming after us, leading a religious war of sorts, and quietly at times, but nonetheless continuously. And today I feel like I can say Americans like me are taking a big gay breath of fresh air because President Biden took it upon himself not just to pick a vice president who's going to be monumental for girls, and rightly so, and for women of color, but also, I have to say, for the gay community. I feel like the target's off our back, and she has our back, as does Joe Biden. And I just want to say thank you so much. And I just want to remind people on both sides that empathy will prevail only if we allow it to. So while we celebrate those of us who voted for the candidate who won, and we believe won fairly, that 4 years ago, many of us felt the way that those Trump voters, maybe misled, feel today. They feel defeated. They feel sad. They feel scared. And I think if we remember how it felt the last 4 years, it might be easier to have more empathetic conversations with them where we might actually be able to bring some more of them at least to the middle, if not to the table.
Do you think
so? I just
knew,
hope that the American empathy that...
Go ahead, Alan.
My question for you is, when Trump was elected, do you think that the people really understood who this guy was? I mean,
no.
he made pro-gay,
I think it was fun.
Pro-gay, you know, sounds and all the rest of it. It just turned out he was a liar.
Oh, when he held
the
flag
lying,
up
lying.
On the stage?
He was a liar.
Yep.
Well, Matthew,
it was terrible.
Thank you.
People are fooled when they want to be.
Thank you very much for that call. We got to go quickly over to Tom and Otis before we wrap up here. Tom, go ahead.
Hi, I want to say thanks to the people who rescued us, and it's, you know, it's not a hero in my mind. We were in this mess for the last 4 years because people were afraid. They're afraid of loss of income, loss of job, loss of status. And they were willing to trade their freedom for the promise of rescue by a king. And we've gotten out of it, not because of some big leader who's going to rescue us, but because of ordinary people, people who were brave, people who were brave and went to work every day in spite of the coronavirus, who went and stood in line to vote. We came out of this because of journalists who were not enemies of the people, but patriots who would tell the truth in spite of threats to themselves. And it was not a big, there's no need to worry about the future because there's no need to be afraid because we are already brave. Ordinary people are doing what they need to do, and we've come back from the abyss because of people do it, not because of a giant hero, but because of people doing what they need to do. I want to thank people who tell the truth. I want to thank journalists who've gotten a bad rap over this whole year. I want to thank my fellow Americans who have worked day to day and gone out and voted and got us back on track, I hope.
Well, Tom, thank you. We'll leave it there. Hey, Alan, thank you for making time to join us today, sir.
And thank you for inviting me, Raymond. It was very generous of you. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and we'll talk to you soon. Support comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering curbside pickup or delivery within 3 miles for your wine and craft spirits. Grapesandgrainswine.com for details. at the Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting 20 miles of trails for solitary winter nature walks and online resources for remote learning, albanypinebush.org. Well, once again, thanks to Alan Chartok for being here. Thank you for listening. Some really thoughtful and great calls today. Really appreciate them. The emails were nice as well. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, our producer, Jackie Orchard. Phones answered today by a real muckety-muck higher up at WAMC. Jordan Yuxall, thank you for being here, sir. Hey, don't forget, we have coming up an hour-long WAMC News with Jim Lavoulis, and we will get a lot of local and regional reaction to the inauguration. That's coming up in mere moments tomorrow. Join us at 2 o'clock for the Science Forum. Until then, so long.